Ooh, that tree. And I can go up there and lay down, lay my head on that dog, and there was nobody, not even my sister, brother, or my daddy or mother, neither one could come and touch me. Now, it'd eat you up.
What was his name? What was his name?
Ring.
Ring?
Yeah. I had that dog after I got married. Well, I went to work one morning, and we were living there in my home place. And I'd get him in the corner and punch him at the broom, have him fighting it. So I went to work. When I came back, Viney said to me, said, "You have to tie that dog up." I said, "Why?" He said, "He jumped onto me today and took the broom from me." I said, "Well, what'd you do?" He stand in the door, and I tried to run him out with the broom. And I said, "Lanny, all you had done is say, he'd go off and lay down, Ring, and not get the broom now." I said, you can't fight him." I never did tie him up, but she never had no more trouble with him. But now you couldn't, I don't care who it was, if he'd been staying around him for a year, you didn't want to get out somewhere and pick up a stick and walk with it for a cane. If you did, you would bit. The old man stayed up there with us. Old man Jake Hill stayed there. I seen him, he went across the creek. I said, "He ain't coming back." And I said, hollered at him. I said, "Jake, I said, you better lay that stick down now." I said, "That dog will bite you." "Oh," I said, "ain't no dog will bite me as long as I got a club." I got, he did. That dog didn't make a start like he was going to get you. He'd wait till you struck, and when you struck, he did get you. Funny how a dog can learn stuff.
Way back years ago when you were young. I say way back years ago when you were young, did you ever hear any stories about the Civil War around here or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My wife's mother was tell you all about it.
Is that right?
She was just a girl when it happened.
What did she tell about?
Huh?
What did she tell about?
Oh, I don't know what all. Told about how they'd done and everything, where they'd fought and all that stuff. It's been so long, I've just about forgot.
Any of your people in that?
None that I know of. But Liz was just a little girl. She told about her a lot about coming around and taking their stuff and everything else. See, that's the reason they call it. Some of them, one side or the other, burnt the bridge down up here at Daly. That's the reason they call it the Burnt Bridge. Now we're talking about my wife, how long I'd been married. A damn doctor in here killed her.
Is that right?
Give her a damn pill and reacted on her. And then these other damn doctors in here covered up with the bastard. She just got up out of the bed at the hospital and just walked in the bathroom. When she came back out, she couldn't breathe. She couldn't do that. They ruined her lungs. They put one eye out. I had her on a breathing machine here for over a year. If I had to do over again, when I walked in there and seen what kind of shape that doctor got her in, I just took the chair and beat that son of a bitch to death. It's a wonder I hadn't anyway.
So your garden doing pretty good?
Well, what I put out done pretty good. You can't even give stuff away. That woman down here ain't got no garden. I'll call down there yesterday and told her to come up. I'd give her a mess of green beans. She wouldn't even come get them. Tried to get her to go out there and pick that lettuce. I got a row of lettuce down through there. It was that high. Nobody wouldn't. One man that lives out there in the trailer, he picked him a little mess out of it. And Bobby, he come up and picked him a bag full of it.
You plant by the signs?
Yeah. I always do.
Which one? Tell me how you do it. Which one do you
Well,
do?
I just watch the almanac. Mm-hmm. Hagerstown, it tells you when to plant all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When to gather it. Now, I dig my taters even in a sign. And you think you never are going to come up when you plant them. Takes them so long to sprout. They never sprout in the garden, in the cellar. I plant them in the sign and I dig them in the sign. Yeah, that Hagerstown almanac tells you about everything like that.
Does the moon work in with that too? You always plant them in the dark of the moon?
Light of the moon. Dark of the moon's when you plant the underground crops. Light of the moon's when you plant the top, what grows above the ground. Mm-hmm. And a certain time in June, the moon's either light of the moon or dark of the moon. Now, this gets wet. You can peel a locust, hack a ring around it up about that high, peel that bark down, don't pull it off, lay it back each way. I guarantee there'll never be a sprout ever come up on the roots or on that tree nowhere.
Exactly.
I can take you up here on the hill and show you. That's the easiest way in the world to kill locusts. This place about growed up when I come here. Now, I'll tell you, I had a little team of mares here. Well, I got them, had the one when I moved here. She was a year old. Mm-hmm. I broke them little horses, little buckskin and a gray mare. That was one of the best teams that ever hit this country. They was 2 years old, and I took them in that garden. The old man that lived down here, he'd tried to plow with his big team. He came up by and seen me. He said, "You'll never plow that garden with that little team." He said, "I tried it with my big team." I said, "You just wait." I said, "You come back by." I said, "It'll be plowed." He came back down and by, and it was plowed. Stopped out there. He said, "He said, that must be an awful good little team." But now I tell you, you never had to put, I could put the harness on them, put the bridles on them, never put a halter strap or lead strap or nothing on the little buckskin mare. Wherever I led that gray mare to hook her up, plow, mow machine, hay rake, anything, that little buckskin never had a string on her to lead her or nothing. She'd walk right up beside her to be hooked up. Anybody could work them. The only thing they had to do is to hold them down and keep them walking a little too fast.
Well, that's a big horse out there, isn't it?
Pretty good size.
How much does he go?
I'd say about 13 to 14.
Mm-hmm. They got some Belgian in them?
Huh?
You got some Belgian in them?
Half.
Half?
The rest Appaluche.
Huh.
Her mother weighed about 700 pounds. She's making good horse, though.
Mm-hmm. Did you break her?
Mm-hmm. She's only, 5 years old, five or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never broke her. She wasn't nothing to break.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something about a dog and a horse. You take a mare and ride her right up till she has a colt. You can get on that colt, and he'll never do a thing, he'll walk off with you. If you're working it, put the harness on that mare and work her till that colt born. That colt, all you have to do is throw the harness on it and it's broke.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Same way with a dog. You take a dog, if you want three coons, get him up, beat the bitch up here, catch a coon and let, while she's heavy with pups, and let her fight that coon. Them pups, every one of them will three coon.
Hmm.
I raised a bunch of pups here one time. Out of a walker and a dog that you couldn't keep it off of a deer now. That's all I was told. It was fellas running fox races. But if there's deer laying over here again that hill, she walked out there, she'd throw her head up like that. Ooh, she's going right straight through that deer. She'd go. And I raised pups out of her and another dog. And I had a fight. When them pups, they was born the 30th day of April. And when fourth coon season come in, I come home here one night. I had them tied out there on the water so they'd go back and forth to the creek and get their water. And they was barking. I said to Liney, I said, why don't you go out there and make them things shut up? I went out and whipped them and put them in the box. I didn't get back here at the house till they was out of barking again. And I went out there and hollered at them. They was barking out around the corner of the building. And I said, Liney, I said, them dogs are winning something. I'm going to turn them loose. I turned them loose and they took down that road there and they went over on that other ridge. You see the holler come down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over on that other ridge, went to barking. And I went down there and had three coons up a tree. They were winning that thing. And I took them on, me and Coleman Fansler, an old man Fansler, took them two pups. It wasn't 6 months old yet. We took them up there on Shaver's Run. We treated the coon and them two pups sat down there right side by side like that and looked right straight up, been there at them coon, and just barked every damn breath. Old man Fansler turned around and said, I'll be damned. He said, I've seen pups. But he said, I never seen one to do that. And I gave my first cousin one, Tom McGee. I gave him one of them, a black and tan. And it wasn't, it was before coon season come in. He done caught coons with it. Never had another dog with them. But the two I kept, they got so I couldn't hunt them. They went too far. They'd take off here every 2 or 3 days before you ever seen them. And them was just pups. I seen them come in and lay down out there on the porch. And where they had run, they'd be, the time she'd got their feed for them, they'd be so damn stiff they couldn't get up. And they wasn't a year old yet. I gave one of them away. I thought that'd help it. Stop the other one from hunting so wide. Well, I guess it didn't help you a bit. I ended up with trading it all. Now, I had a dog here, brought. I went down the lower end of Maryland. A fella sold dogs down there, a McGinnis. And I gave him $60 for that dog. And he told me, he said, if that dog don't suit you, you bring it for 3 years, you bring it back. And I'll let you have another dog for him. I brought him home, I lived in Virginia then. I took him, when I got him used to me, I just took him down there along the river. More than 5 minutes, he had a coon treat. Boy, that is a real dog. Don Arbogast gave me a Norwegian. And he wouldn't do nothing. And Don said, I'll give him to you. Said, I know he'll be good to him. Don raised him as pet, but he just wouldn't pay no attention to a coon or anything. He'd just walk off and leave it. I got him up here and had a coon club down here. I got him up here, had him up here about a month, I reckon. had another pup out here had raised out of the old plot. I took them up here and got them, they got a groundhog hole. I dug it out. But I wouldn't dig it out enough so they could get it. Let them fight right in there.
Uh-huh.
And they killed that groundhog in there and never did pull down the hole. And I took them up here then and had 22 and I was shooting close to a squirrel wanting to get it to jump off so they'd see it. And when I did get a jump, the Norwegian was gone. I think that son of a bitch is gun shy. He's about that time the other dog run it up another tree. And about that time I heard that Norwegian open up down the creek, and I swear to God he had a groundhog down there bigger than that dog girl. I took it and hung it up in the tree and had him barking at it. Well, they all had them coon dogs down there at the coon training contest, and they all knowed this dog. Knowed he wouldn't do a damn thing. I went down there, and they looked at me. Said, that dog Don had. I said, yep. Said, you ain't gonna put him in the contest, are you? I said, yeah. I said, mother, let's give you a dollar. Next time I took him back, they wouldn't put a dog in till I took him out. He barked 132 times a minute. He put his feet right again in that tree and he stayed right there. Never moved. Jess Hornick and all of them had all them coon dogs and they had Joni Schoon over and all of them. And when I took him back the next time, they wouldn't put a dog in until I took him out. Then you all want to know what I'd done to him. I said, I didn't do nothing to him. He done it his own self. But that plot now that I got down there in Maryland, I don't know how many coons I caught with that dog.
Hmm.
And he, if you put him by himself, didn't put another dog with him, he'd never say a word till it was treed.
Hmm.
When he treated, he'd make a circle around. Every time he crossed that track, he was checking to see if it had got away.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he crossed that track, he'd let a beller out of him. Then he'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd done that about three times, he sat down and he stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
I had him stay at the tree over 8 hours
mm-hmm.
before he'd leave it.
Hmm.
And they said one thing I didn't have to worry about. Nobody went to that dog and killed his coon because he didn't get the tree.
Hmm.
He'd jump on you.
Hmm.
Nobody got the tree but me.
Hmm.
No, the only fault I had with him is you take him up here on the mountain and he went to the bear, he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't see that plot was bred for bear and boar.
Yeah.
And that's all they wanted to do was to fight something. You couldn't hunt him with a... I had one dog here that I could hunt him with.
Hmm.
And that was a pup I'd raised out of him and another bitch. And he'd run here, that pup would run here with him all the time. I seen him get out of the hole and let the pup have it. But no other dog didn't. Not even a bitch. He played bitch the same as what a dog.
Hmm.
That is, if you tried to crowd him away from the hole or anything.
Yeah. Did you, when you were coming up, was there still any wild hogs around?
Huh?
Was there still any wild hogs around when you were coming up? Nobody around there hogging?
Where I was raised, till after I left up there, there was, one time, I seen a deer. That's the first deer I ever seen it up in there. I went up there to Bruce Stevenson Orchard and up above home. I had an orchard up in a hollow there, mm-hmm. peach orchard. And there's apple trees in there. And I took this dog. I didn't know the dog. He'd come to me. I thought I'd just take him up there and see what he'd do. Couldn't find no owner for him. And I believe he was a plot because he'd brindle his leg, only he was lighter yellow. Mm-hmm. And it's other plot I got. So going up the hill, he come back to me and his hair all turned the wrong way, letting off a beller out of him, and I think so, damn. He went up there and run on to the damn bear, and it like scared him to death. Now, that's what I thought. I just got 97 Winchester in there. I didn't have a thing in it but number 7.5 shot. And I went on up the hill, urging him, seeking him, kissing him. Just now, he, whatever it was, took off. I come down, come off of the hill, over the creek where he caught it, and I could hear him run in and get it in them rocks, you know, and then get back. But I could just see a flurry, you know, under that pine tree, and I didn't know what it was. I just figured it was a bear the way he acted. I waited until he jumped in and grabbed it and got back, and I cut down in on that thing with this, that 97 Winchester. I killed that thing, it's dead at 4 o'clock. Here it was a deer. Now you talk about a deer, dog, I had it from that on. I'd had him all over up in there, and he never had run a deer. And that was the only deer ever I knowed was up on the river run. I didn't know there were deers up there then.
People just killed them all out, do you think, or what?
There never was none up there. See, I moved here. When I moved here, the first year or second year I lived, when fall I lived here, they opened deer season up off over on this side of 33. See, you can hunt on the inside of 33, but not over on this side. And you couldn't hunt from here clear through till you come to over there, Red Run. Now, over there, you pass Red Run, then there was a patch in there you could hunt in. But now, after I moved here, I'll be damned, they opened it up the second year, and I never seen it like a deer.
Did you ever hear tell of any panthers?
Yep.
Did you ever see one or hear one?
I never seen them, but I've heard them. There used to be one that went across right up there, letting squawks out of him. And the only time ever first tale I ever heard about one was them Bennetts that used to, two Bennetts that used to live up there right at the foot of Cheatin' Mountain there at, where the CC camp was at the foot of Cheatin' Mountain. There's a house there, and they lived in that, and they had a spring out there where they got the water. He went out there and laid down to get him a drink of water, and one followed on him. And then that man didn't take that panther off of him and killed it with his bare hand. I reckon he thought, well, I've got to kill it or it'll kill me.
Wow. Was that long years, was that when you were young? Or was that years and years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was forever. I had a hard top across there. I helped build all that there from the foot of Cheatin' Mountain.
Did you?
Now, show you how, what I worked. They got the contracting rocks up there, 30 foot for 6 hours. We had to nap it down till it go through a 3-inch ring and level it down ready for the roller. 6 hours, I broke three of them, 90 foot of it. I got $7 back in, $7.20 a day was damn good money. Now that's how I worked. So you know, the rest of them, I couldn't hardly get to 30 foot. And I was breaking three of them. I started at the foot of Cheatin' Mountain there and finished up at Pocahontas County line.
Napping Rock. Napping Rock.
Yep. But up at the Pines. That was the first time I'd ever parasol around here. No, I tried that two-man out up there. So you talk about something that was, I don't know what it weighed. We had an oiler on that end of your saw over where the other man had.
Mm-hmm.
You was back here in between them handlebars, and that was 11 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could take, you couldn't cut the tree and get it to fall where you wanted at all with the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just quit and wouldn't fool with it. And then I got that McCullough. I cut over 3,000 acres of timber with that saw.
Who'd you work for?
I worked for, well, the man that I'd worked for, he was a contractor from cutting the timber from Preston Hardwood. And I've been working for him. First, I worked up here at Wee Siding. I put two of the biggest logs that ever put in up there at that mill daily.
Hmm.
Well, God, they had to, you know that hole they used to put the logs in up there?
Mm-hmm.
They had dynamite them getting in my holes. Two red oaks.
Huh.
Made a, see, we shipped them out on the Western Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And one of them logs made it here in a railroad car. I could take back that cat up, pull that cat down there and let the winch line out in places the log would come and the tractor would go back to the log. Mm-hmm. I had to get it against the stumps to pull it. You couldn't hurry me to put a bullnose like I did that.
Hmm.
Over there. I went up there, them two big logs. They went up and grabbed grabs in them, and I went up a holler and come across and come down by them, had the winch line out. They grabbed that winch line and hooked it into them grabs. I couldn't stop the bullnosing out, it was that damn steep.
Hmm.
You can lock your tracks up, but it just kept coming off the mountain. Man, foolish, you know what? Do stuff like that.
Let me ask you a question about a couple different people have told me this, and I've often wondered it. A couple different people have told me that old Davis and Elkins up there,
yeah,
that they were actually Frank and Jesse James. You ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I'll tell you where I think Jesse James and them was from. These Howard boys that lived up clear on, their daddy, when he was dying, the doctor was there and all of them, he told them that he was Jesse James.
Is that right?
Said he was Jesse James. What was that fella's name? It was just Jesse.
Oh,
Ford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he was supposed to have been a Ford, and he told them if they'd go to Missouri, that there was plenty of money for them all. Now, that was when he was dying.
Hmm.
Now, a man wouldn't tell that kind of stuff if he wasn't something to it.
Yeah. Huh.
And they never did go see to find out.
Now, let's see. The first...
That was Ursel Howard and all that.
Huh. Where's Clay Run?
Up, you know where the bridge is, going to Valley Head?
Mm-hmm.
The up below Valley Head there.
Yeah.
Up at Holler.
Oh, yeah. And he, this man, on his dying bed said that he was that...
Jesse James' buddy.
Yeah, one of them, huh? And Cole Younger was one of them.
Yeah.
And this
anyway,
is
anyway.
One-